This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Factor.
In early December 1990, military vehicles and heavy machinery flooded Tsarichnia, a small village in Bulgaria. Soldiers set up a perimeter as workers started digging. This was Operation Sunray. In the 11th century, Tsar Samuel of Bulgaria buried huge amounts of gold and treasure somewhere under the village. The goal of Operation Sunray was to find the treasure and return the struggling nation to glory. But that was just the cover story. Colonel Peter Kanev and a few officers knew the truth. There was no treasure. They were after something far more valuable. Object number one. Some said it was the lost Ark of the Covenant. Others said it was advanced alien technology that could bend space-time. Whatever it was buried deep underground near the village. Kanev thought the mission was a long shot. How was he supposed to find some object underground when nobody knew exactly what it was or where to find it? He had no idea that object number one knew they were coming, and it wanted to be found.
Yeah, human! Thank goodness you're here! Where do you keep the tube meat? I got a few friends over from out of town, and they want to try them.
Tube meat? You mean hot dogs? And what friends from out of town?
The aliens! My UFO detection kit worked! You know, these guys are amazing! They've actually been to Uranus! They've seen Uranus up close? Tomorrow they're gonna probe Uranus! Now, where are the hot dogs? I'm trying to defuse the situation here.
What kind of situation?
Well, the Beaver Brothers came out to say hi, and these aliens, they really took a liking to him.
Well, Wyatt's a little grumpy, but Virgil and Morgan are pretty charming.
No, I mean they think they're food. I gotta get some hot dogs into their mouths before they start eating beaver.
Okay, this is exactly why I use Factor, and you should too. Delicious meals delivered right to your door.
Oh, did you just probe your way into today's sponsor, mayhap?
I sure did. Eat stress-free this summer with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, but one of these guys is on a special diet. He can't eat Squigglepuss, and he's allergic to Flibbersnatch.
What's Flibbersnatch?
How should I know? You want me to ask him?
Definitely not. With Factor, you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. And Factor's now owned by HelloFresh, so with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's certainly something for everyone. Factor is my go-to lunch. I actually eat it every day at the studio. To start meeting your nutrition goals, head to factor75.com or click the link below and use code THEYFILES50 to get 50% off your first Factor box and 20% off your next month of orders.
Code THEYFILES50 at factor75.com to get 50% off my first box plus 20% off the next month of orders.
That's right.
Perfect. That'll keep me away from the beaver.
Great. Now, please ask them to leave.
Leave? They can't fly. They've been smoking blow-up-us all day. That's why their buddies crashed in Roswell at 47. They were whacked out on blow-up-us.
I don't even want to know.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good stuff. I asked them to leave me a couple of blow-up-us seeds.
You are not going to grow some alien, you know, whatever that is, you're not going to grow it in my house.
You are so uptight. You just got to blow-up-us and chill.
No, thank you.
Was that?
Me again. All right, I'll be there in a sec.
Hey, look, I gotta go. We're in the middle of a game of snorkel blast, and it's my turn to probe.
Wait, are you probing or being probed?
I don't know, but with a little blorpus, I'm good either way. All right.
As Operation Sunray began, Tsarichnia's quiet nights were shattered by round-the-clock digging. It was December in Bulgaria, and the soil was like cement. The treasure story didn't add up. Why so many soldiers? What's with the hazmat suits? Locals were told there was nothing to be afraid of, but something felt off. Colonel Kanev led the project and brought in a few other officers. But one stood out, Colonel Delcho Naplatonov, a scientist specializing in advanced technology and paranormal research. Whenever the military faced something unexplainable, they called him.
Ooh, he sounds like one of the Ghostbusters.
From which movie?
There was only one Ghostbusters movie, and I'll hear no more about it.
Fine. Anyway, Naplatonov was in charge of all scientific aspects of the project, and it was a good thing he was a paranormal investigator. As soon as the digging began, strange things started happening. Equipment that had worked fine suddenly behaved erratically. As the weeks passed, soldiers grew more anxious. They felt a presence that grew stronger the deeper they went. They sensed that someone or something didn't want them there. Colonel Kanev dismissed their fears as superstition, too many Bulgarian folktales growing up. Though he didn't admit it, he couldn't deny there were things happening that he couldn't explain. The villagers also experienced strange phenomena. Glowing spheres hovered above the dig site, moving in formation as if guided by intelligence. The air around Tarichnia crackled with a static electricity, and then the humming started. At first, it was a faint vibration, barely noticeable, but every day it got stronger. It was a very low frequency, not quite audible, but it caused headaches, nausea, insomnia, and a general feeling of dread. People heard whispering, and they started seeing things. Shadows in the corner of their eyes, but when they turned to look, nothing was there. Nothing except that feeling. They weren't welcome in this place. The mood darkened further when a young lieutenant disappeared. He went to check the perimeter and never returned. A search party scoured the area, but he was gone. No body was found. Discreetly, Colonel Naplatonov told Kanev, there were dark forces at work. If they were going to locate Object Number 1, they had to take this seriously. Naplatonov was a paranormal researcher, but he was also a serious scientist and a colonel. Kanev trusted him. The situation with the soldiers, villagers, and workers was getting out of hand. Conventional methods failed. Kanev turned to an unconventional solution. He brought in psychics. One was world-famous for accurate predictions. She was called the modern-day Nostradamus. When the Bulgarian military runs out of options, who are you going to call? They called Baba Vanga.
Oh, they called in John Wick?
You just stepped on my cliffhanger.
I'm sorry, I got excited. They say Baba Vanga can kill three men with a f***ing pencil.
No, they called John Wick Baba Yaga. Baba Vanga was a famous Bulgarian psychic.
A f***ing pencil.
Operation Sunray was unraveling. Equipment malfunctions, shadowy figures, voices, and a missing soldier left Colonel Kanev grasping at straws. But calling in psychics just made his men more anxious. Marina Naplatonov, the colonel's daughter, and a well-known psychic arrived first.
Oh, he brought in a nepo baby, huh?
No, she really was a well-known psychic.
Uh-huh. Convenient that his kid gets the gig.
You want to know what's in the hole or not? Her reputation was built on a series of accurate predictions about political events, including the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Fine, you happy? Yes, I want to know what's in the hole. It might be a baby seal fetus or something. Please continue.
As a child, Marina's visions were dismissed as an overactive imagination, until they started coming true. Now her memories came flooding back. As a girl, she had visions of this place and this very moment. She made telepathic contact with ancient entities called the Guardians. They warned her that something dangerous was buried here that should never be disturbed. Then Marina felt another presence, older, darker. It wanted something from her. Ellie Loganova arrived next. She was in contact with an ancient being, one of the first humans on Earth. Ellie was...
Whoa, hold up.
What?
You can't just say one of the first humans on Earth and continue like that's not important. I thought the first humans were like monkeys or whatever.
Nope. They were told that humans were created by ultra-terrestrials.
Extraterrestrials?
Ultra-terrestrials.
What'd I say?
ETs are aliens. UTs exist in a dimension we can't perceive. They genetically engineered early humans.
Yeah, Nunaki.
Yeah, it kind of lines up with that story. Ellie was shown visions of ancient humans with advanced technology fighting an entity of darkness.
Who won the battle?
Don't get ahead of me.
Sorry, I'm excited. This story is my kind of bananas.
Ellie saw a massive underground structure, a portal under Terichnia linking our world to others, and powerful beings were warning her, stop digging. But like Marina, Ellie felt pulled in two directions. One entity begged her to turn back, another promised ancient knowledge if she would just go forward. But it was the words of Baba Vanga who shook the team.
Leave it buried. The truth about the origins of humanity is a burden too heavy for mortal minds to bear. Do not seek answers to questions we were never meant to ask. There are truths that belong only to the gods. To seek them is to invite your own destruction. Man was not meant to know everything. There is wisdom in ignorance and safety in silence.
Drawing Baba Vanga's attention made the soldiers feel even worse. They knew her predictions came true.
Turn back now while you still can. These truths are better left forgotten, hidden deep within the earth. If you dare to uncover them, only death will follow.
Several psychics, including one of the most famous in the world, was warning the team to turn back. But the colonel had a mission to accomplish. He wasn't going anywhere. But he should have listened to her, because Baba Vanga was right again. Marina directed the excavation, having workers dig a long spiral tunnel deeper into the earth. The ground seemed alive, responding to them, helping them even. Their equipment now worked perfectly. They didn't realize they were no longer in control. Marina and Ellie's visions began to synchronize. The guardians Marina saw were protecting the portal that Ellie saw, and behind it was an ancient evil presence, imprisoned for thousands of years. They were getting closer, and they could feel it. Conflicted by warnings to stop and entities urging them forward with promises of truth, they shared their thoughts with Colonel Kanev. He didn't care about portals or aliens or interdimensional beings. He just wanted to find object number one. The soldiers were tired. They felt like Marina had them digging a giant circle, until Marina said, "Here." Ellie heard a voice say, "Do not continue. What lies beyond is not your kind." Then she had a vision of a large rectangular stone emitting a soft blue light. Find the stone, find the truth. They dug. 5 feet down, nothing. 10 feet down, still nothing. The soldiers were exhausted and skeptical, but the women insisted something was there. 15 feet, nothing. 20 feet, they hit something solid. They cleared the soil and saw a stone barrier carved perfectly smooth and was gently vibrating. Marina knew the guardians put this barrier here for a reason, but she couldn't resist. She had to know what was behind it. But their tools were useless. They couldn't even chip the thing. And going around it wasn't an option. It seemed to cover the entire area, like a shell.
Or a cage.
Right. Colonel Kanev said the mission had to continue. He ordered explosives.
This is a terrible idea.
The detonation shook the earth. Dust hung in the air for what felt like forever. But when it finally cleared, they saw they had broken through the barrier. But this only created another unsettling mystery. They'd uncovered an entrance to a dark spiral tunnel descending deep into the earth. This was not a natural formation. Its walls were smooth and polished. Steps were carved into the tunnel floor. Soldiers, workers, and officers stared in awe and terror. Marina was quiet and still. Her eyes followed the steps down, down, till they disappeared into the darkness. Without looking up, she said, "It's awake." Marina Naplatanov stood at the top of the staircase, staring into the void. The whispers in her mind became screams. Her childhood visions had come true, leading her to this moment. The guardians were terrified, begging her to stay away. But she felt compelled to go, as if she were being dragged there. Ellie Loganova felt the same pressure from the ultra-terrestrial beings. Then she remembered something Baba Vanga said about what she would find.
You will find a yellow monkey, neither man nor woman, in a capsule. If you open it, the air might revive it. What will you do when it starts talking?
She had seen the chamber in a vision, a shell made of rounded metal with markings on it. Inside was something extremely powerful and important. The beings begged her to turn back, but Ellie had no choice. Ancient knowledge was down there. She took the first step. Marina followed. Their footsteps echoed as they descended. The uneasy soldiers looked at each other. Every instinct told them to stay put. This wasn't what they signed up for. But orders are orders. So down they went. A few more soldiers followed. They walked cautiously down the steps into the darkness. They didn't know it at the time, but they weren't coming back. The smooth walls of the tunnel were covered in symbols they didn't recognize. They weren't sloppy scratches in stone, but deliberate and precise, as if carved with a tool. Scientists later said they resembled ancient cuneiform, but they were much older than anything ever found on Earth. The soldiers crept down the spiral staircase, weapons raised. The air got heavier and colder. Their flashlights were flickering candles. They couldn't penetrate the darkness. They didn't feel like they were being watched. They knew it. Marina was bombarded with chaotic commands from the entity, growing stronger with each step. She tried to resist, but was powerless. Ellie was also struggling. She saw ancient people performing rituals here to seal the portal. The symbols on the walls were changing, and she wondered if she was the only one who could see it. The rest of the team was on edge. Shadows flickered at the edges of their vision, never quite in focus. The walls seemed to shift. They were disoriented, unsure if they were going straight or in circles. Colonel Kanev, the skeptic, was experiencing something he hadn't felt in a long time. Fear. Halfway down, the staircase opened into a chamber. The air had the sickening sweet smell of death and decay. One of the soldiers swung his flashlight and caught a reflection. Set in the wall was a large rectangular slab of stone, glowing with bluish light. The stone was an intentional barrier. They all felt it. But as they got closer, the light revealed something more disturbing. The stone was alive. The group cautiously approached the glowing stone, covered in thick, slimy, pulsing organisms. Marina reached out, but Ellie held her back. This was the stone from her vision. The organisms were aware of them. They reacted to them. They warned them to turn back. Then Marina felt eyes on her and turned. In the far wall was a thin humanoid figure, bigger than any man, with long limbs and sharp alien features. Its red skin emitted a faint glow. The guardians had warned her. It was the Sentinel. Though fused with the wall, it was alive and watching. Nobody knew what to do. They looked at Marina, but she was lost in the Sentinel's gaze. Then came the first death. A young soldier suddenly collapsed, convulsing violently before falling still, his eyes frozen wide in a final moment of terror. The men panicked. They were spinning around, shouting and aiming their weapons, searching for a target. Colonel Kanev tried to calm them, and then another man fell, and then another. Ellie sensed the entity's satisfaction, feeding off their fear. Marina walked slowly toward the Sentinel, arm outstretched. Ellie called out, but Marina just kept walking. As she approached the Sentinel, there was a rumble somewhere deep in the ground, getting louder and closer. And suddenly the entire cavern was trembling, and men struggled to stay on their feet. Kanev was surprised when he heard himself order a retreat. If object number one was here, he wanted no part of it. Orders be damned. He shouted to fall back, but the staircase had vanished. The room had shifted somehow. Nothing looked familiar, except for the glowing blue slab. That was still there. That was the only way out. He ordered his men to put charges on it.
Doesn't this guy learn every time he blows something up, things get worse?
Nope. Ellie was screaming no, but that was just in her mind. She didn't make a sound. She sensed something behind the stone, and she had to see it. Marina touched the wall near the Sentinel.
She looked into its eyes and saw them move, watching her. Then its eyes looked up, past her. Marina turned and saw the men setting up explosives. She started to call to them, to warn them. And then there was a flash of light. Marina didn't hear the blast, but she felt it. Once the dust settled, the team rushed to the stone, praying it had been destroyed. It hadn't. It was cracked, but not broken through. And it wasn't empty. They had broken the seal. The trap was set, and they walked right into it. Kanev and the remaining men rushed toward the breach, stumbling over bodies. The blue stone was cracked, pulsing with blinding light. Behind it was a smooth metal chamber. Whatever was trapped inside was now awake and angry. There was an energy field humming around it. One man got too close and was thrown across the chamber and crushed against the cavern wall. Soldiers opened fire, but bullets couldn't get through. Then a black mist started pouring out, and there was the smell of sulfur. Men clawed at their throats, grasping for air, before collapsing one by one. Marina fell to her knees, overwhelmed by chaotic visions of death. Or was it reality? She couldn't distinguish one from the other. A soldier rushed over and grabbed her arm to help, and he was dead before he hit the ground. Kanev's mind raced, his heart pounding in his ears. He had to find a way out. 2 dozen people went in, and there were now, what, 6 or 7 left? Ellie stood over the broken stone, staring at the capsule Baba Vanga warned about. It was covered in symbols she didn't recognize. Then a flash of light transported her to a bright, quiet place. The symbols floated before her, and she understood everything. They told a story of creation, of beings beyond the stars who had come to Earth long ago, bringing knowledge of civilization. They designed our DNA and guided our development, a truth we were never meant to know. The capsule contained a creature that wasn't quite human and wasn't quite an animal. It wasn't male or female. It wasn't anything, but it was everything. The creature was the seed, the starting point. Its DNA was part of the recipe that created Homo sapiens. That's why it was hidden and protected by all these violent forces. This device could be used to create anything from a man to a monster. It could not be allowed to fall into the wrong hands. Ellie realized the blue stone was more than a barrier. It was a warning. A distant voice whispered, "It's us." Kanev grabbed Ellie, who was in a daze, and mumbling, "It's us," over and over again. He realized it too late. The entity wasn't protecting the capsule. It was using it as bait. The entire dig was a trap. Another man fell. Kanev, fighting against the pulling mist, grabbed Marina and Ellie, dragging them toward what he desperately hoped was the exit. The tunnel was twisted. Everything around him was distorted and chaotic. Kanev was sure he was losing his mind. Every step was agony, and then he heard it. The entity laughing in his mind, urging him to let go. The voice promised peace, knowledge, and truth if he just let go. And he wanted to. He almost gave in when he saw a thin strip of light. The entrance, still open, still reachable. He pushed harder. The entity's grip weakened as they neared the light. Finally, Kanev and the few survivors spilled out onto the cold ground. The tunnel sealed itself behind them as the scream of the entity's rage slowly faded. Marina was unconscious, her mind shattered. Ellie was trembling and still muttering, "It's us, it's us." Kanev coughed and tasted sulfur as he gasped for air. He stared at the sealed entrance. The entity was still in there, waiting for the next fool to take the bait. Kanev gave the orders. No more digging. No more object number one. No more mission. The entity claimed 18 lives, bodies that would never come home. He called for cement mixers to fill the hole with every bit of concrete they had. The Tsarichina hole, once a site for discovery and hope, had become a place of horror. Kanev felt lucky that a few had escaped, but the entity wasn't finished with them just yet. On December 6, 1990, the Bulgarian military launched a secret mission in Tsarichina
to hunt for alien artifacts. They dug a hole 200 feet deep and over 500 feet long. The work continued steadily for almost 2 years. Then, on November 19, 1992, the military suddenly gathered their people, tents, and equipment and poured concrete into the hole, sealing it forever. Operation Sunray was over, but its effects lingered. UFO sightings increased. Glowing spheres returned. Strange, threatening notes appeared around town. People experienced psychological trauma and physical illness. There were reports of poltergeists, energy fields, cryptid sightings, strange weather, time distortions, and bad luck.
That covers just about everything except for maybe crop circles.
Oh, those happen too.
Well, this place has got more weird stuff than Mount Shasta or Mount Mother Hayes.
It's either the most paranormal place on Earth, or it's not. Most details of the Dziurichna story come from Colonel Canav's book, The Dziurichna Phenomenon.
There's always a book.
There's always a book. He talked about the energy fields, the alien technology, and the metal object that blinded them with light.
Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light.
After his book was published in 1992, the story evolved, with new details replacing the old ones. Today was a moderate version. Some people get really creative with this one. Hundreds of podcasts, videos, and articles about the Dziurichna Hole incident are floating around. All tell a different story. All tell a good story. None of them are the truth. Here's what really happened.
And thousands of people just left to go watch a different video.
General Radnu Minchev was convinced by psychics that Tsar Samuel's treasure was hidden under Dziurichna. Nobody bothered to check that at the time, Dziurichna was part of the Byzantine Empire, making it unlikely they'd find any treasure there. But Ellie Loganova was convincing. She channeled a super intelligent being named Roro, who confirmed the visions and promised to guide them.
Did you just say Roro?
Yep, that was the name of the interdimensional being talking to Ellie. Roro.
I guess. You'd think a super intelligent hyperdimensional being would have a cooler name than the way Scooby-Doo says, uh-oh.
Minchev, suffering from prolonged cancer at the time, was in a weakened state and vulnerable to influence. Plus, in 1990, Bulgaria was chaos. The psychics convinced him that this operation would bring glory to Bulgaria, so he approved it and launched Operation Glory.
Operation Glory? What about Sunbeam? Sunray? Light Beam? Star Beam? Moonshine?
Well, Canav's book calls it Sunbeam, but eventually it became Sunray. But officially, it was Operation Glory. Colonel Naplatanov was put in charge, but he didn't trust the psychics. He felt that they were using the general.
Hang on. I thought Colonel Canav was in charge.
No. Kirill Canav was just a researcher. The internet might be confusing him with General Dinev, who was in charge of the logistics, but Canav wasn't even there. Yet in his book, he claims he was and portrays himself as a hero. As soon as Colonel Naplatanov's daughter Marina was brought in, they both started having headaches and feeling sick. Because Colonel Naplatanov was against the operation and very vocal about it, he believed that he and his daughter were being targeted by a psychotronic weapon.
Did you just make that word up?
No. Psychotronic weapons influence someone's mind and behavior. The colonel said that he and his daughter were being targeted by a weapon developed by the Soviets. They were being told to jump off a building. He suspected that General Minchev was ordering the attacks. Midway through the project, Marina left, and shortly after, she jumped off a 10-story building.
Whoa, are you kidding me?
Afterward, the colonel lost it and filed a formal complaint with the Ministry of Defense. He blamed General Minchev and then left the project. His complaint reads like a man losing his mind. The military tried to have him committed for these wild allegations. 18 months later, he jumped off a bridge.
Well, there's no such thing as a coincidence.
There's not. But those are the only juicy parts of the story. That's it. The dig didn't turn up anything, and it came under public scrutiny. A commission was sent to investigate, and they were not impressed. The geologist on the team, Dr. Jivko Ivanov, testified the only thing he found odd was the military was hiring psychics.
There are no materials of non-natural origin. No radiation, no gas, no danger for the population of the area. Psychic guides attempt to suggest the presence of some supernatural corridor or passage, and a complicated search for an object for which there is no data.
He was asked what about all the strange activity in the area.
The idea that the area was prone to catastrophe is false. Nothing like this is known to us.
What we do know is that a lot of government money disappeared during this project. Millions of dollars. Many witnesses said this project was a scam perpetrated by General Minchev. They got caught, the project was shut down in a hurry, and all documents were destroyed. When the Soviet Union collapsed, the entire Eastern Bloc fell apart. Bulgaria's communist government ended in November 1990, and the democratic constitution wasn't passed until July 1991. So for a year, there was essentially no government in Bulgaria. With no law, the powerful took advantage. Operation Glory was launched just a few weeks after the communist government fell.
So who is in charge?
The same people who are always in charge when there's no democracy.
The guys with the most guns.
Right. Military leaders with troops and weapons at their disposal, like General Minchev. Corruption was rampant in Bulgaria during this time. It still is. Bulgaria is notorious for having crooked politicians, judges, and law enforcement at the highest levels. It's still like that today.
Oh, Bulgaria should look at the United States. Our legal system provides equal justice for all. Our federal law enforcement agencies are incorruptible. The FBI's leadership exemplifies honor and integrity and an unwavering deference and respect for the Constitution of these great United States.
Are you being sarcastic?
Of course I'm being sarcastic!
Now, on this channel, we have nothing but respect for the agents and officers in the field.
True, fair enough, but their bosses are more crooked than a dog's hind leg.
That was a weird metaphor.
But we were talking about crooked cops, so I think I got that one from Sheriff Roscoe Pico Train.
I was more of an Enos fan. Ellie Loganova is still around, and she tells a version similar to the one in Kanev's book. She had four notebooks that documented everything, the proof, but they were confiscated by the military. And now she's selling her own book that talks about the story.
There's always a book.
So Operation Sunray, Lightbeam, Glory, people were there. Whether or not you believe these things happened to them is up to you. But before you make a decision, here's something. In 1981, the Bulgarians launched the Golyamo-Gradisht expedition in the mountains near the border with Turkey. At Golyamo, they were searching for buried treasure, but they were really looking for ancient artifacts or alien technology. They brought psychics with them. They were told the location by Baba Vanga.
Yeah,
they had an encounter with aliens and dark forces. A couple of people died. Some managed to escape. They sealed the cave and left in a hurry. And that project was also covered up. I listen to lots of podcasts about how the people in the area feel like there's a special energy there. It's a paranormal hotspot. There's a vortex. It's on a ley line. All that stuff. That may be what the young people say because it's fun. But the older folks who were there for the dig said nothing strange happened and they'd like to be left alone. But they never will be. Stories like this resonate because we know there's more to reality than we understand, so we keep asking questions. But it warns us we might not like the answers, and some mysteries are better left unsolved. This story has been told forever. Pandora's Box, the Tower of Babel, Faust, the Fisher King, the Matrix, Indiana Jones, and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
It wants to give us a gift.
The three-body problem?
There are those who say we should not inquire too closely into who else might be living in that darkness. Better not to know.
And hundreds more.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
All stories about pushing boundaries in search of hidden knowledge that lead to unintended and often disastrous consequences. This is a theme that's going to keep turning up until we finally understand the universe and our place in it. That's going to take a while. So we're going to keep seeing variations of this classic story again and again. And you know what? That's fine with me. Just leave Indiana Jones alone. Thanks so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. That's Hecklefish.
We got the tools. We got the talent.
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor. Like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff really helps him out. Like every topic we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see, go to theyfiles.com/tips. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel. And I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. It's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. Now, I know the schedule's been a little hinky lately. We're fixing that. But in the meanwhile, if you need more Wi-Fis in your life, check out our Discord. We just crossed 60,000 members, so there's people on there 24/7 talking about the same weird stuff that we are. It's a great community. It's really supportive. It's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. If you want to know what's going on with the Wi-Fis at any given time, check out our production calendar. It's at thewifiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, all that stuff. Special thanks to our Patreon members who make this channel possible. Every episode of the Wi-Fis is dedicated to you. I could not be here without you. And I'm proud of the community that we've created, and it's really all thanks to you. And if you'd like to support the channel and join this amazing community, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, access to merch only available to members, plus 2 private live streams every week just for you. The whole Wi-Fis team is on camera. You can jump up on stage, ask a question, talk to us directly, make fun of me and Gino, talk to my wife, flirt with Victoria, ask to see her feet, whatever you want to do. I think it's the best perk there is at being a Patreon member. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Wi-Fis store.
Grab a Hellish t-shirt or get one of these coffee mugs that is perfectly suited for your fist to go into or a beverage of your choice. Or grab one of these hoodies or t-shirts. Oh, we got all kinds of stuff on my face on it. We got, I think we even got some new leather stuff on my face on it. Okay, I'm a little off script. Let me go back. I'll grab one of these squeezy animal hecklefish talking toy fishes.
That's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
In Area 51, a secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. And I got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Circle 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. We're in a simulation, don't you worry though. The Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe.